The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome into a Monday evening with us from the PNC Studio in Lake Forest as we welcome you into another edition of the Bears Coaches Show featuring head coach John Fox following an overtime loss in Detroit yesterday. Good evening.
How are we doing, Jeff?
I'm doing fine, but, you know, everybody's a little rough around the edges today because something like that, a hard-fought, tight football game, more importantly, a division game. I mean, you had it all right there. A great, great situation in the NFC North, and it went right down to the wire. 16-rounder.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was really kind of a real defining game, and it was the difference between 3-3 and 2-4. So not only a division game, getting somebody against we haven't beat in 2 years. You know, I think obviously disappointed. You know, you look in the mirror, and you always do that. Just everybody needs to get a little bit better.
And the crazy thing is you do look at that. 2-4 looks a whole lot different. And 3-3. It just does.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think, you know, it was one of those telltale games of the season, and it kind of dug ourselves in a hole and about to fight out.
Kind of a weird question, but do you want your players angry on a Monday after a game like that?
Yeah, you could see that, you know, in the locker room last night. You know, I think you know, anytime you fight that hard, and we did, you know, you're on the road. It's a division game. Like I said, we haven't, you know, beaten them in 2 years. You know, they wanted it bad, and unfortunately, we came up a little short.
The good news is the fight's there, man. It's there.
Yeah, I mean, our guys battle, and, you know, we were able to squeak out a couple of wins the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we definitely had our chances, really, in all three phases. And, you know, we'll get a chance to get in. They had off today, and we watched it as a staff. But we'll watch it with the team tomorrow and look at it hard and make corrections and move forward.
Hey, what are those meetings like? I mean, people talk about them all the time. They don't really get into detail. I mean, what's the point of them? I mean, what are you focusing on in those things? Do you go through every single play as a team?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, these guys get individual grades. You know, there's goals offensively, defensively in the kicking game. You know, so there's a lot that goes into it, and it's a great teaching tool.
How many times you kick yourself?
Oh, all the time.
When you watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you always replay it and always, you know, I've always been of the mindset, you know, you look at yourself first. And so there's things you do different. And, you know, hopefully everybody can, you know, look at the tape that way and self-evaluate and get better for it.
Yeah, accountability is a big word in all sports, football in particular, in that locker room. But, you know, coming out of there, and I don't know if you look at this as a good thing or something that you should expect, but, you know, I heard Jay Cutler talking about I got to be better. You know, speed things up in the red zone, especially inside 10 yards. Kyle Long, I played awful. I got to do this. I got to Tracy Porter. I got to do this. I got to Pernell McPhee. We you know, mentally, we got to start stronger, fast. Jarvis Jenkins, all these guys agree in the same vein. You want to hear that?
Yeah, I think, you know, you always, you know, want to self-evaluate, you know, after every contest and whether you win or lose. You know, I think it's easier to watch when you win. And but there, you know, there's situations in the two earlier games that, you know, were difference makers in the fact that we were able to win.
Couple of rarities this season. I forgot which game already. I know it's only six, but like you, I don't remember what happened 10 minutes ago, right? So there was a game that the Bears did lose the turnover battle and won the game. Yesterday, same story. 18 points off takeaways, a rarity. You usually, and with two of those on muff punts, you're pretty much bankrolling a win, aren't you?
Well, I think, you know, there's no automatics, you know.
I know that, but
that's why you play the game. And
you know all those analytics guys sitting there saying, hey, there's no way they lost this game.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, it's, you know, it's football, some crazy things, and a lot of these games are, you know, one of them 7 or less points, and yesterday was one of them.
In your opinion, how long does it take for an offense, especially one that's 6 games old, basically, take to become a more efficient red zone offense?
Well, I think, you know, it helps to have the same parts in place. You know, I think anytime you're rebuilding or changing and adjusting, and we've had our share. You know, it's not an excuse, just reality, whether it's been the offensive line, you know, whether it's been the wideout situation. You know, I think it's real important down there because it's all the advantage goes to the defense. The field's short. It's harder to run. You got basically 11-man fronts because all the DBs are closer, you know, to the action in the run game. And the windows are tighter in the passing game.
Given your history as a defensive coach and a defensive coordinator, so when you're making play calls in those situations, you say it's the defense has an advantage. What are they? Like, what are you looking for that you can take advantage of in those situations, even though you see it looks like, you know, hey, this is going to be tough to stop these guys. They're, you know, inside the 10-yard line here.
Well, I think, you know, so much of what we do, I know there's questions about the overtime, play calling, all that fun stuff. But, you know, a lot of what we do is dictated by what the defense shows. So sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of that going on more so, and I don't want to get too much into that. But, you know, sometimes they dictate. And so I think in the red area, you know, you just got to be way sharper. You have to execute way better. Obviously, having in the passing game, having everybody on the same page, and because the windows are tight, you know, it becomes more critical that, you know, you're getting reps with people that you kind of know how they're going to react, know how they're going to adjust.
And win some one-on-one battles, no doubt about it. And you did. You did win some one-on-one battles yesterday, and they get paid too, as they say. So they made some good plays.
Talented offense. I mean, you know, they won 11 games last year and really fought for the division title against Green Bay. And they're very talented. I know their record didn't show it, but, you know, I don't think our guys were taking them lightly by any stretch. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, it was one of those games could have gone either way. And unfortunately, we were on the wrong end.
With John Fox here with you until 7:30 tonight, we'll be talking to Adam Gase as well, the Bears offensive coordinator, coming up at around 7 o'clock. We'll discuss this with him, too. But, you know, that Lions team, you know, people can sit there after the game and say, hey, well, they didn't have this guy, they didn't have this guy, they didn't have this guy, but they still have guys that have been playing in the league a while, and they did a nice job stopping you on the run. Was there anything that you looked on tape and saw with maybe took it away from you a little bit?
Not really.
2.9 yards of carry is not up your wheelhouse.
Yeah, but 91 yards, and we were efficient. I mean, we did score 34 points now. It's not like, you know, we got shut out. That's usually enough to win. And, you know, some areas we have to get better at. Obviously, turnovers, the pick in the red area took points off the board. You know, we were 3-7. I know it says 3-8 in the 3-8 in the stat sheet, but
yeah, started,
you know, the one
drive,
play, we were there one play and
boy,
kicked.
How tantalizing is that, though, where you get that many trips because then you start doing math? Could have had a 50-point game.
Yeah, I mean, I think could have, would have, should have. That's unfortunately, that doesn't help you. So,
sorry, I cut you off, but because I'll forget. Even though, yeah, the 30 attempts is huge because it does set up some great play action, and that did allow Jay to do a lot downfield.
Yeah, you know, again, you know, there's, you know, hopefully, and I think our team will, is you look at it hard where you could have been better. I mean, we could have executed better in some key situations. You know, whether it was in the kicking game on the fake punt, whether it's, you know, as a coach, whether you get the extra 10 seconds or not, you know, those are all things you look at. Our signatures are all on it, and, you know, we'll take it, you know, like big boys and hopefully get better.
All right, another segment coming up here with John Fox as we get you set for a little time off, bye week, and then the Minnesota Vikings coming in on the 1st of November. And we're brought to you by McDonald's, PNC Studio here at Hallisaw.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Shotgun to Cutler. Protection holds. Good block by Dukas. Now it starts to collapse. Cutler moves around and gets away from it. Winds up throwing deep downfield. Jump ball. Caught inside the 5. Coming away from the DB to make the catch was Alshon Jeffrey. Patented. Alshon Jeffrey. Jay Cutler, a survivalist back there. Shaking tacklers and finding room. Heaved it deep. It's a 45-yard pass play and a Bears first down.
That's a long call. I don't know. I ran out of air there at some point, Big John, as the Bears make a big play with Alshon Jeffrey. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. But, you know, I said it all right there. He was a survivalist at times back there. Not that the blocking was poor. I mean, he just is doing great things in the pocket right now, creating new pockets in there in the last three games. And then Alshon comes back and things open up downfield for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think getting both Alshon and Eddie Royal back, and, you know, Marquise Wilson is growing up as a player. You know, I think moving forward, it gives us an opportunity. I think Jay's playing outstanding, and, you know, unfortunately, that performance, you know, came up a little short and got wasted yesterday, you know, in a close loss.
Is it hard for you to discuss the good things in a game when you do lose? Like, I keep bringing up all these good things. I mean, 8 for 147 and a tutty is very good, but it's hard for you to embrace the whole thing. It is a 53-man game.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, you play for one reason, that's to win. And I think, you know, there's some individual performances that were good. You know, unfortunately, you know, we were probably two or three plays away from getting a W.
That is our Xfinity Player of the Game, brought to you by Xfinity, as we bring you and highlight each week. And we'll also tell you who the Player of the Week is coming up as well in our program tonight. Adam Gase will join us around the 7 o'clock hour here as we get you set for a little time off for the Bears. But not much. I mean, some coaches give them the whole week off. I'm loving the idea that you're bringing them back in for a couple of days of work. What kind of work are you going to do? Regular practice?
Yeah, it'll be in shorts. We won't put them in pads. We'll give them a chance to heal up and, you know, get some guys healthy and refreshed. We've got some, you know, older veteran guys that we'll get some time off to. But, you know, it's a good chance to develop some of your younger players. We've got a lot of new guys that, you know, need some reps in, as far as what we're doing, especially at the linebacker position. We got a couple, you know, we got a new running back. And Anton Smith. So, you know, again, it's a chance to really, it's kind of another training camp for us, you know, getting some of these new players ready and developed in our system.
You know, one popped up yesterday and literally made three plays. One was unfortunately taken away in the end zone. We can talk about that if you'd like. Probably not on the Golden Tate catch, no catch. And then he had a sack taken away by a penalty and also an interception. We're talking about TCU rookie Jonathan Anderson.
Yeah, we just brought him up this past week, and you know, I think he responded well. He's got some, you know, good burst and explosion. I think you can see in the special teams. I think he's helped us improve our coverage units where we really struggled early in the season. So I think he's got a bright future.
Good move too, 4.5 speed, so he's got some wheels. Now you mentioned this in our previous segment, touched on it. A lot written, a lot discussed about the following topics: clock management, things get scrutinized, plays get scrutinized, winning and losing, but more so in the losing. The 10-second runoff, you know, all those things go into the evaluation, I guess, but you're doing a lot of things on gut, history, defensive matchups, all the above, correct?
Yeah, I mean, if you go back and look at the game, I mean, we're trying to keep them out of the end zone. You know, if they don't score, you look at the game last night, you know, San Diego's knocking on the door. You know, when a team has no timeouts, you do want to shorten the game. You know, I think, you know, you go back and look at it, it's going to be 3rd and 12. You know, whether there's 44 or 34 seconds left, you're not, you know, at the 2-yard line where it's 1st and goal, new set of downs, where you might even consider letting them score to conserve time. You know, at that point, we had a down where it was really going to be 4th and 12 now. A team with no timeouts, and then
you're talking about the McPhee.
Yeah. So then we, you know, we get a questionable call, being quite frank with you.
Yeah.
You know, on roughing the quarterback, and you know that, you know, makes that a bad decision. What do you say? You know, I think when a team has no timeouts, you don't want to do them favors by taking timeouts or adding time to the clock.
Yeah, the 10-second runoff thing too. You know, if you don't get the 10 yards, also. So, I mean, you know, there's a penalty involved there. It's intentional grounding. So, you know, you can...
Well, you know, you get the penalty. You get the choice of both or either.
Okay,
you know?
Okay,
so,
okay.
They marked it off.
Right.
It was going to be 3rd and 12. So we took the penalty, and they gave you the option to take the runoff right. Or not. You know, now if it's going to, you know, I don't know, it's not that down in distance, or it's all of a sudden, like, the next down, it was 1st and goal after
exactly.
A personal foul penalty. That was not part of the equation at the moment you make those decisions.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Cutler awaits, takes the snap, Lions rush four, pockets clean, going deep in the end zone, touchdown! Elshon Jeffries got the catch, touchdown Bears!
Yes, it was a nice touchdown catch, the play of the week, and brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears, as Alshon Jeffrey collects the touchdown, his first action since week one against Green Bay. Boy, did he make a difference. We touched on it in our first segment, but just opened things up for everybody else, too.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think with a little more time in there, getting a little more acclimated to our system, he's, you know, this is only his second game in what we're doing, whether you're talking preseason or regular season, and, you know, I think he'll just get better and better.
By the way, One news note today, the Bears did waive the veteran defensive back, Demontre Hurst, elevating cornerback Bryce Callahan from the practice squad. This has been a weekly thing. You know, there's no doubt about it. There's going to be changes made. Callahan was on the active roster to start the year, so he's been around a while here, and he knows the systems and what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, we evaluate him every day. You know, our staff looks very closely in his development, and, you know, he's caught our eye throughout the last few weeks. He did start on the active roster, went back to the practice squad, and now we're going to bring him back up. And, you know, he's earned that right. And so we like keeping things competitive, and he'll get a good look this week and next.
See, that's one thing the fans don't get to see is that those practices have been competitive, and they matter. The scout team guys can make a difference on what they're doing and make things difficult on your starters. They basically, you know, that you single them out after they show up on tape after practices. And so sometimes that doesn't happen on teams. It happens on this one.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, we're in a performance-based business, and I think anytime a guy, you know, shows he's really, really willing to improve and get better, I think you have to reward him.
This game is now loaded with size at receiver, obviously. Calvin Johnson's a nightmare. It always has been. You know, when Charles Tillman was here, they had some unbelievable battles, as you probably are aware of when you watch tape of those games, if you happen to play the team the next week or whatever. He was great at it. They had battles. He had battles with Randy Moss. But, you know, given where you started from in your coaching career, the big receiver, I can only think of guys like Harold Carmichael. You know, not as many as now, right? They're coming in bigger than ever. What kind of challenge has that become for these guys to try and defend size like that? Because corners aren't that big.
Yeah, I think I don't know that you're ever going to get quite as big as Calvin as a corner, but
or Alshon,
you know, well, same with Alshon.
6'3", but
yeah, I mean, but Alshon's, you know, considered a big receiver, so it's hard to find guys with that kind of speed and that kind of size, and particularly on defense.
What would you have done back in the day? In the
70s. Double them. I mean, we doubled them a bunch yesterday.
I mean, what was considered big when you started coaching with the Steelers?
You know, I think I'm just trying to look back. Louis Lips in those days was a good size
guy.
Gosh,
that doesn't even seem like a size guy now.
No. And then you talked about Carmichael. He was a long guy. Randy Moss, you know, he had great speed.
Of course, yeah.
You know, as well as that's
the size,
not
speed,
totally modern day, but or ancient, as you would say it. But, you know, he was a guy that combined that great length with speed. I was pretty good at it.
So when you go through the tape with a guy like he was matched up with Harold Jones Quarte, when we talked about, you know, here's this guy not far removed from Finley University, and he's dealing with a future Hall of Famer. What do you do?
Well, I think, you know, that was a situation where we were in cover two, and he got deep on the safety. And, you know, you just have to do your best to stay on top of, you know, a guy that size. I think, you know, even Tracy Porter, you know, they caught the one ball going the one direction. And then, you know, later in the game, he kind of read it pretty good and was on top of it. And you got to stay deeper than the receiver. And that's where we got caught a little short, you know, on that big play at the end in overtime.
Yeah, unbelievable. Now, Tracy made a comment yesterday that he felt the defense took a step back.
Yeah, I don't think we played as well, especially in the first half. I think you know, a lot of the damage was done in that first half by them offensively. You know, I thought we were a little better in the second half and, you know, part of the overtime. But all in all, it was a slow start.
I hesitate to ask this question because it's almost like the first snow question every year. You know, they send the reporters out, hey, you know, what do you think about the snow? Do you like a bye week and do you care where it's at?
You know, I think, you know, sometimes it times out good, sometimes it doesn't. You know, I think for sure it's more fun when you come off a win before a bye, no doubt about that. But, you know, I think at this time we've got some guys banged up. We've got a lot of new players that, you know, are learning our defense still and offense for that matter. You know, to get them kind of oiled back up and trained to do the right thing as far as our systems go, I think, you know, for right now, for us, it's beneficial.
People want to hear what you have to say about the overall six games in. It's not the midpoint or anything, but I know they got to love the competitiveness of this team. They're competing, they're fighting. But overall, can you evaluate the progress?
You know, I see progress. You know, and I feel good about things moving forward. You know, I got asked today in our press conference, and you know, comparing it to places I've been, and there's no doubt in my mind it's going to happen here. You know, I can't give you a time frame other than I can tell you guys' attitudes and their work ethic is in the right place, and now it's just a matter of putting it on the field.
Do you grow weary of that question though about what's been done with you in the past? Because it's a different time and place, different players, different everything. You do have reference points, obviously, but they often, the media will ask about, hey, you know, compare it to Carolina, compare it to Denver. There's really no comparison when you got a brand new situation. You got totally different players.
There's really not, but there is a formula.
There's checkpoints,
there is
basically.
A process, and, you know, it takes a minute. Sometimes takes 5 minutes, you know, so it's I can't tell you when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen.
All right, very good. Appreciate your time. Hope you get a couple days off to relax. Got to take care of the missus now.
For sure. Appreciate it, Jeff.
John Fox joining us on the Bears Coaches Show. Coming up next, offensive coordinator Adam Gase here from How to Solve It.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. In this hour featuring offensive coordinator Adam Gase. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System, MasterCard, and Comcast. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Snap, quick handoff, and it is in for the touchdown. Jeremy Langford, quick hitter off the left side. He goes in.
Second career touchdown for Jeremy Langford here in his rookie season on a fresh look from play caller and offensive coordinator Adam Gase, who sits in the big chair now in his home state of Michigan, going back there and against the team that you worked for as well. But I couldn't avoid the Michigan State connection there on the handoff, especially what they did to Michigan over the weekend and just the most unbelievably ridiculous finish I may have ever seen in college football. You gave Langford a little love.
That was a good finish.
Wow. It was an unbelievable finish. Hey, that play call, little inverted wishbone is how I call it. What do you call it? You got Mitch Unrein in there, which he's been in the backfield before for you back in the Denver days.
Yeah, it was a different formation for us, having both the tailbacks in there. And, you know, we did a good job as far as getting push up the front, and then Jeremy found a crease and stuck it up in there.
All right, so you went to Michigan State as well. Did you see the finish?
I did not. I've seen it now.
Oh, okay.
But I saw the fourth down play, and then we went into a staff meeting, and then I saw Vic kept looking at his phone because he's checking out to see how Harbaugh's doing. And all of a sudden, I saw him lean back in his chair, and I was like, kind of looking at him, all of a sudden I saw him go, they lost. And so I took off after our meeting, and Jeremy was sitting there, and I said, what happened? It was the punter dropped the ball, and they ran it back for a touchdown. He's like, you'll see it. He goes, it'll be the number one play.
And I'm certain he didn't explain it to you in that modest, soft tones. You guys were high-fiving and going crazy, right?
He was pretty mellow about it. That's just kind of his personality of, never gets too high, never gets too low, just stays the same all the time.
Well, I was in the hotel doing some final prep for our game, and I almost flipped the channel. I was just gonna either fall on it or whatever, and I almost flipped the channel, and I just couldn't believe it. I thought it was unbelievable. We're here to talk about the Bears, but that was some kind of that's football. I mean, you love talking football, so
gotta play till the clock hits zero.
Gotta play till the clock hits zero. Here with Adam Gase, you and Joe Lombardi, the Lions' offensive coordinator, combined to call 150 plays in that game. Crazy game, wasn't it? And almost 1,000 yards of offense. I explained that.
Just some of those. Sometimes that's how the game goes.
Yeah.
Obviously, the week before it was completely different. It was battling for every inch and finding a way to score touchdowns right at the end of the game. And this one was more of a track meet. Sometimes that's how they go, and we just ended up on the short end of the stick.
Do you get a sense of how a game might go in terms of what you'll need on the scoreboard? Do you ever go into game planning sessions thinking, okay, I'm going to need this much to knock a team off? Or does it evolve over the course of the game where, hey, you know what, you get a pretty good idea that a couple of touchdowns aren't going to do it? Need to do something a little different.
It's so fluid, you're never really sure. As we were moving the ball early, it felt like we were going to be in a pretty good rhythm. I felt like our guys were feeling confident as far as how we were coming off the ball and how they were responding to us. our biggest thing was just making sure that we finished drives in the red zone. We kicked too many field goals, you know, throughout the game as it turned out. But we felt good about it as the game was going along as far as how we could move the ball. And we're not really concerned about what, you know, we're worried about what we're doing on our side of the ball. And it usually plays out the right way.
Yeah. I've known some coaches, hey, you know, I'm going to need 24. I'm going to need 24 to win the game. And that's they go into that mindset. But everybody is different.
The Bears Coaches Show with offensive coordinator Adam Gase and WBBM's Jeff Jodiak continues.
Shotgun snap. They hand it off to Forte. Left shoulder into the end zone. He punctures the goal line. He's in. And the Bears have taken the lead back from Detroit. Touchdown, Bears. Matt Forte.
And Matty gets a two-point conversion on that as well, on that series. We're here with Adam Gase. So that was big right there. Things were looking good. You know, you did a heck of a job moving the ball and making the play calls there. Tough. Those rushing yards were tough to get, but, you committed to it, 31 carries.
Yeah, that front is no joke. I know they lost a couple good players through free agency. And our thought going into the game was we have to do a good job in the running game. We want to make sure that we're getting positive plays and avoid the tackle for losses and make sure that we stay in third and manageable. The last thing we wanted to do was be third and 10 and let that front start, you know, pass rushing and being able to tee off on our guys. So it was tough sledding, but we did a good job as some of our, what we like to call catch and carry plays where the ball comes out quick and give Eddie and Alshon and those guys and Martellus a chance to just run with it and see if we can stay third and manageable.
We touched on it with Coach Fox, obviously, the addition, the reappearance, rather, of Alshon Jeffrey just really stretched things for you. It really opened things up, allowed you to go downfield a lot more.
He's a big-time difference maker. We've only had, really, that was our second game with him. Not a lot of, really no action in the preseason, so we've had limited exposure to him. So getting him back, it's just trying to get the feel of what he does well. Obviously, we're lucky enough to have Coach Groh here, so he knows what he does well. And we're going to keep trying to put him in position to make plays for us.
And beyond what you guys know he does well, are there things you see in him from the limited exposure you've had to him that you can envision blossoming, maybe things that he hasn't done?
There's always that thought process. But until we get into practice and really hone in on what those things are, right now it's hard for me to tell. I do feel like we have a good feel of what he can do. Obviously, his vertical presence down the field, his ability to win the 50-50 balls is probably up there at elite level in the NFL. And we just need to find out what are the little things that he does really well.
How big is your playbook?
It's ever evolving.
Constantly being constructed. Yeah.
We're always trying to find different ways to get our playmakers the ball. We don't want to say that we have a certain system. We feel like whatever this offense is, it is built to put our players in the best position possible. And that's what we try to do every week. Our offense will look different from week to week. And it's all about putting the guys that we have on the field in the best position to help us score points.
Yeah, personnel has been different week to week. I mean, literally, for the entire team. But, you know, offensively, I think what a great credit to you and the coaches to get the offensive line together and able to win a couple of games here and play competitively here these last, well, the whole season. But the last 3 weeks have been, you know, really dramatic games and great finishes. And getting guys that have been untested and inexperienced involved and even in crunch time in the most important plays of the game. You know, I'm talking about the Kansas City and Oakland games as well. That's a credit to me, to the teaching and figuring out what's best these guys are capable of at this time in the infancy of their careers in some cases.
Well, our assistant coaches do a great job of making sure from top to bottom everybody's ready to go. You never know when your number is going to be called. Coach Fox instills next man up mentality. And I think we've seen, especially over the last few weeks, players that a lot of people don't know who they are, but they know who they are now. And they've stepped up, they've made plays in big time situations, and it's not too big for them. And that we've seen improvement from all spots, and it's really showing that we're a little deeper than what people gave us credit for to start the season. And we're just going to keep improving from here on out.
Let's talk Jay Cutler. Those who've analyzed his career since he's been a Bear since 2009 say this is his best stretch he's played. That's obviously up for discussion and debate. But within the pocket, though, I think some of what he's doing there is really setting new standards for him. How do you feel about it?
I feel him and Dal have done great work in practice to get better in that area. I know it was a point of emphasis for him going into training camp. I know he wanted to focus on it. The hamstring injury probably forced it on him a little bit. He did a good job in the Oakland game of just being calm, being patient, understanding that it wasn't smart to bust outside the pocket, try to make plays with his legs. He did a good job of staying in there and making throws. But it's continued. And they work on it so much in practice that it's hard not to translate over to Sundays. And it's great to see when we put on our individual tape in practice and we can put a side-by-side comparison to what he's been doing in games. It's pretty amazing how they look so alike and how it's translating in our games on Sunday.
I think the word we've come up with is calm. Calm back there.
He's doing a really good job of staying relaxed, playing calm, and going through his progressions, not going, you know, outside the box. He's staying in the framework of what we're asking him to do. And when things do break down, he's making the right decision as far as where to go with the ball.
It's Adam Gase, Bears offensive coordinator. We need to step away for another check of WBBM's traffic and weather together around the 8s. Listen to the next Bears All Access radio show brought to you by Sports Authority this Wednesday at 9 p.m. Special time, so mark it down, 9 p.m. Wednesday on WSCR, 670 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears network of shows.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And welcome back, everybody, to PNC Studio at Hallis Hall, our final segment of the evening. We're with offensive coordinator Adam Gase, and we'll hear back from John Fox in a moment. Thanks for joining us, Adam. And what do you hope to accomplish from an offensive point of view during this bye week? Do you do a lot of self-scout? Are you going to try and get more creative? I mean, what do you do? What do you do?
Well, we're always self-scouting throughout the year. So this is really, we're kind of doing a little overall review. Obviously, the red area peaked its head a little bit this last game. So we want to make sure we tighten the screws on that, put our playmakers in the best position possible. We feel like maybe we didn't do as good a job this last game plan of getting certain guys going and having the right route combinations and things like that. So we need to do a better job in that area. But I think this will be a good week for us to make sure we clean that up and then get ready for the next game. We'll clean up the running game a little bit, too. We got to do a better job of covering guys up and giving Matt a better chance.
You're talking about in the red zone or just in general?
Just overall.
Yeah, in general. How about the red zone? You know, I know that you have quality control coaches and people working on trends that may be developing that you're maybe not even aware of. Do you focus on that stuff, too, during the bye week to see where your tendencies are so that teams don't catch on, or is that just normal also week to week?
I think the one thing a lot of people don't talk about is you create tendencies on purpose sometimes to set up certain games.
Interesting.
We kind of did that earlier in the season. I think we went on about a 3-game run. We had some things set up for the fourth game. Worked out well for us where they might have been thinking it was run and then we'd end up throwing and, you know, vice versa. So right now we're pretty balanced in what we're doing. We're probably really, really more run heavy right now, which is good because that's kind of what we wanted to be. And we'll go back and look at it. Like I said, we've been doing this every week as far as making sure where we're at, whether it be run pass or, you know, third down, how we doing as far as in the red area, the gun under stuff, all those kind of things. So we'll keep working on those and looking at those numbers, and we'll make some adjustments and try to make sure we keep the defense off balance.
Yeah, you know, we discussed it a little bit with John. You know, in game situations as tight as this, a lot of attention focused on late play calls and so forth and decisions made run pass. You've heard it your whole career, too, as a coordinator and heard it from other coordinators you work with. How do you handle those things and how do you deal with those things?
Well, it's hard to you can't second guess anything. I mean, once you do it, you do it. So, you know, we felt good about what we had called. You know, every once in a while you'll have a play call where you kind of were like, I wish I would have had that one back. But once you dial it up and you're expecting your guys to execute it, sometimes it doesn't work out the way you want it to. And for us, we have a few things we have to clean up. We got to clean up our drop passes, and we have to clean up some of our route technique in the passing game, and then we have to clean up some of our run game and making sure that we do a better job of knowing our assignment, executing it. And once again, If you give Matt Forte a little bit of daylight, we're going to get positive yards, and we have to do a better job of that.
All right. Well, enjoy your time. I know you're not going to be taking time off, but you'll be able to relax a little bit, I hope, and see you on the other side of the week.
Yep, thanks a lot.
That is Bears offensive coordinator Adam Gase. Earlier tonight in our first part of the show, we met with John Fox about the tight finish against their opponent yesterday at Ford Field.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was really kind of a real defining game, and it was the difference between 3-3 and 2-4. So not only a division game, getting somebody against we haven't beaten in 2 years. You know, I think obviously disappointed. You know, you look in the mirror, and you always do that. Just everybody needs to get a little bit better.
And the crazy thing is you do look at that. 2-4 looks a whole lot different than 3-3. It just does.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think, you know, it was one of those telltale games of the season, and it kind of dug ourselves in a hole and about to fight out.
Kind of a weird question, but do you want your players angry on a Monday after a game like that?
You could see that, you know, in the locker room last night. You know, I think you know, anytime you fight that hard, and we did, you know, you're on the road. It's a division game. Like I said, we haven't, you know, beaten them in 2 years. You know, they wanted it bad, and unfortunately, we came up a little short.
The good news is the fight's there, man. It's there.
Yeah,
it's
I mean, our guys battle, and, you know, we were able to squeak out a couple of wins the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we definitely had our chances, really, in all three phases. And, you know, we'll get a chance to get in. They had off today, and we watched it as a staff, but we'll watch it with the team tomorrow and look at it hard and make corrections and move forward.
Hey, what are those meetings like? I mean, people talk about them all the time. They don't really get into detail. I mean, what's the point of them? I mean, what are you focusing on in those things? Do you go through every single play as a team?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, these guys get individual grades. You know, there's goals offensively, defensively in the kicking game. You know, so there's a lot that goes into it, and it's a great teaching tool.
How many times you kick yourself?
Oh, all the time.
When you watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you always replay it and always, you know, I've always been of the mindset, you know, you look at yourself first. And so there's things you do different. And, you know, hopefully everybody can, you know, look at the tape that way and self-evaluate and get better for it.
Yeah, accountability is a big word in all sports, football in particular, in that locker room. But, you know, coming out of there, and I don't know if you look at this as a good thing or something that you should expect, but, you know, I heard Jay Cutler talking about the I got to be better. You know, speed things up in the red zone, especially inside 10 yards. Kyle Long, I played awful. I got to do this. I got to Tracy Porter. I got to do this. I got to Pernell McPhee. We you know, mentally, we got to start stronger. Jarvis Jenkins, all these guys agree in the same vein. You want to hear that?
Yeah, I think, you know, you always, you know, want to self-evaluate, you know, after every contest and whether you win or lose. You know, I think it's easier to watch when you win. And but there, you know, there's situations in the two earlier games that, you know, were difference makers and the fact that we were able to win.
A couple of rarities this season. I forgot which game already. I know it's only six, but like you, I don't remember what happened 10 minutes ago, right? So there was a game that we, the Bears did lose the turnover battle and won the game. Yesterday, same story. 18 points off takeaways, a rarity. You usually, and with two of those on muff punts, you're pretty much bankrolling a win, aren't you?
Well, I think, you know, there's no automatics, you know.
I know that,
but that's why you play the game. And
you know all those analytics guys sitting there saying, hey, there's no way they lost this game.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, it's, you know, it's football, some crazy things, and a lot of these games are, you know, 1-7 or less points, and yesterday was one of them.
In your opinion, how long does it take for an offense, especially one that's six games old, basically, take to become a more efficient red zone offense?
Well, I think, you know, it helps to have the same parts in place. You know, I think anytime you're rebuilding or changing and adjusting, and we've had our share. You know, it's not an excuse, it's just reality, whether it's been the offensive line, you know, whether it's been the wideout situation. You know, I think it's real important down there because it's all the advantage goes to the defense. The field's short, it's harder to run. You got basically 11-man fronts because all the DBs are closer, you know, to the action in the run game. And the windows are tighter in the passing game.
That's John Fox tonight of the Bears Coaches Show. Spend game day with the Chicago Bears Network, starting with Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare. 10:30 Sunday morning, Fox 32 Chicago, and after the game, Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW at 10:35 after the final word on Fox 32 Chicago. For John Fox, Adam Gase, Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson, I'm Jeff Joniak. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. Have a great night, everybody.